man. How many of you folks ever been up to Alabama? Good. Yeah. Preacher, that's something else. Alabama, you know, the word Alabama comes from an old Indian name, Indian word name. Here we rest. It's kind of baptistic, isn't it? Amen. Here we rest. Somebody calls it the land of Canaan. Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. I'm not going to cover three chapters. Amen, Brother Homer. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. The unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know how the Lord looks, you read along with me. If you think he looks like the Solomon head painting with the blue eyes and all of the brown hair and all of that, you're disappointed. Here's the way the Lord looks. Here he is in his regal apparel and in his robe of the high priest and with the finished work accomplished. Verse 13. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that was alive and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Praise the Lord. Now let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the finished work. We're glad of where he is now. And we're seated in him. And we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful work that he's still able to do because of Calvary and the cross. And I pray that you'll bless every home, every family, every man of God, every servant here, this camp and this work. And may the Lord be honored and exalted and glorified through everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Phillips Brooks was right when he said, of all of the navies that ever sailed, all of the armies that ever marched, all of the parliaments that ever sat, and all of the writers that ever wrote, all combined, have not affected the life of mankind like this one single solitary life. Jesus Christ, he unstopped the deaf ears. He opened the blinded eyes. He healed the crippled, the maimed, and the halt. He didn't have a group behind the tent on the side of the tent, and he didn't have them in ABC order. He healed everyone that they brought to him. Jesus raised the dead, and he made no charges for his service. He's the only one. Jesus Christ, according to the word of God here, is the eternal one. Back yon in eternity before the sun did ever shine, he was and is the Son of God. He didn't become the Son of God when he was born in Bethlehem. He was the Son of God back yonder. Before any rain ever fell to water the thirsty earth, before any lily ever opened wide its rubid heart to send forth its fragrance back to the Maker, before man was ever created, before any air was ever breathed, and before there was any towering steeples or building, he was and is the eternal Son of God. He stepped out of the ivory palaces of glory to come down to the cruelties of Calvary. And we see him in all of his beauty and all of his glory. And we find him here in verse 13, in the midst. There are seven times the word midst is mentioned here in the New Testament. We find him first when he was born, when he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes and placed in the manger. He was in the midst of the cattle. He that was rich became poor in order that we poor, poverty-stricken sinners might be made rich in the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was 12 years old, he was found in the midst of the temple. And the Bible said, as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day. Not only that, but he was in the midst of the book. As he was opening the book, and he was asking the doctors and the lawyers questions concerning the book. And it was all, he said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, for it is written of me." He was in the midst of the book. And not only that, he was in the midst of the storm. When Jesus said to the disciples, "Get in a boat and go on to the other side," that ought to have been enough. If the Lord says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. Amen. He said, "Get in the boat and go to the other side." And that's exactly what's happening. We're headed for the other side. Amen. And the storm arose, and Jesus went out walking on the water. And John had a deep perception of the Lord. And John said, "It's the Lord." And Peter, the impulsive one, he's the first to react. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you walking on the water." And Jesus didn't waste any words. He just said, "Come." He's been saying that ever since. Just come. Don't reform. Don't try to patch up and get better and quit this and quit that. Just come to Jesus and let him do it. Amen. He said, "Come." And there he was in the midst of the storm. And there'll never be a storm in your life if you're saved, but what he'll be in the midst of the storm. Then Jesus said, "If just two or three of you would meet in my name, I would be there to own and to bless." He didn't say if you met over a table with a cup of coffee to criticize the church and put down everybody. He said, "If you'd meet my name, I'd be there." You don't have many folks meeting in the Lord's name nowadays. We met in every other body's name, but we haven't met in his name well enough. And he said, I'll be there in the midst of you to own and to bless." And then he was crucified in the midst of two thieves, Jesus in the midst. And then on the third day of the resurrection, the disciples fearful standing there in the upper room. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared in their midst. And he said, "Thomas, look here. You see these nail prints? Put your hand in the side and be not unbelieving." And Thomas fell at his feet and said, "My Lord and my God." He is in the midst. But now we find him in the midst of the church. And here he is today, right now, in the midst of this congregation. He said, "I stand at the door and knock," and I like that. And so many times I've knelt in the altar of the church early on Sunday morning. And I've said, "Lord, I don't know the depth and the meaning of that promise in the Word of God, but you said it, that settles it. And you said if I would invite you in, you would come in and be in the midst of the service." And he's never failed yet. He's in the midst of the congregation. And the service, every part of it, every prayer, every echo of the hammer, and every song ought to center around glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the midst. Then he said, "I saw one like unto the Son of Man." The Son of Man. Three things about the Son of Man I want to mention here. First of all, while he was the Son of Man on earth, he was a prophet. He was the prophet. He wasn't some prophet or Muhammad prophet. He was the prophet. And the prophet represents God to the people. And we have a clear-cut representation of God concerning the Word of God, the wisdom of God, and the work of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll never have anything outside of that. You have it revealed. I don't have to get my pattern from the First Baptist, the Second Baptist, or the Last Baptist. It comes from the Word of God. Jesus is our pattern. And he is a prophet. He revealed God's work and God's will and God's plan, every bit of it to us. And the wisdom said in him were made wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. I like that. Not only do we see him as a Son of Man as prophet here on earth, but we see him as a Son of Man as a priest in heaven. Jesus went back to heaven with his own blood. He didn't take the blood of the goats and the ashes of a heifer, but Jesus carried his own precious holy blood inside. He had the blood of God. He did. He did. He was the divine one. And his blood is inside the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus died on that cross, he said, "It's finished." In Genesis, we began with the creation and the work of God. And the Lord said on the first day, the evening. And the morning was the first day. God starts with the evening, you see. And on the sixth day, God wound up, but the seventh remained. And God rest from that work. Then he said, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." The Sabbath and all of that was a type of Calvary when Jesus would die at the cross. And that day, whenever Jesus said finished, he was taken down from the cross a dead man. He didn't drift into a coma. He wasn't murdered. No, sir. They didn't strangle him to death by his blood. Jesus gave up his life as a Lamb of God. And he slowly and purposely and deliberately bowed his head and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus gave his life. He died as a Lamb of God. Amen. Then he descended. He went down into Abraham's bosom. The word testament means a will. The Old Testament saints had had a will made out, but they couldn't cash in on the policy till the testator died. And whenever Jesus died, he walked down through the corridors of Abraham's bosom and said, Old Testament saints, get out your policy and let's cash them in. And he led captivity captive, and he ascended back on high with the Old Testament saints. He's a priest. He represents us at the right hand of the Father. And we have him there in John, the propitiation. He is the high priest, and he's there forever as our high priest. Amen. Blessed truth. You know what he said about this? Jesus, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he said, now, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, but God didn't start with man and work up to God. He started with God and worked down to man. Now, the curtain was torn apart, and he said, come on now, you have access into the Holy of Holies. And I'm glad I don't have to go over to Rome and bow down before the Pope. I'm glad I don't even have to get a bunch of Baptists together. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. He said, you have access into the Holy of Holies. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have access. And he said, let us draw near. He said, come on back here behind the veil, where the glory is. Amen. Come on back behind the veil, where you can enjoy the glory of God. And so many Christians today never get behind the veil. They'll never know the glory, the power, the beauty of a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and his total finished work. Everything has been done, every bit of it, forever. He's our high priest. As the Son of Man, not only is he the prophet, not only is he the priest, but he will be the Son of Man as king when he rules and reigns from his father David's throne. Amen. I don't know whether you believe that or not, but it didn't make any difference whether you do it or not. He's still going to rule reign from the Father. Amen. He will. Just sure as the world. He will. He said he would.
Amen.
Now, not only that, but he said, when I saw him, John said, when I saw him, oh, what happened to John? He said in the verses 9 and 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't say I was up at the family reunion, out somewhere deifying the dust of the dead. He said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's God's day. Amen. And he didn't say I was sitting there in the church worrying about whether I left the oven on or where I was going on Sunday afternoon. He said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he said I heard. You'll never hear anything from God until you get in the Spirit. Amen. You sit there and all the chunks of glory pass you by and you won't hear a thing. Them fellows didn't hear what Saul heard on the road to Damascus. They thought they heard it thunder. And a lot of folks still thinking they hear thunder. They hear thunder. Amen. He heard something else. He heard. And then he said, I saw. Not only did he hear, but he saw. And whenever he saw the Lord, and whenever you see Jesus here, and look at what John saw about him. He is the Ancient of Days. He saw him, his head was as white as wool. Oh, what a beautiful picture here of the Ancient One, the Son of God, the Eternal One. It was John that said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory and the glory of the Father. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. John saw him. John saw him in his beauty. Saw him in his glory. Saw him in his beauty. I'd rather be around a fellow that's saved. I have saw and had seen something. And to be around a fellow that said, I have seen and hadn't saw it. You'll unravel that in a minute. Amen. Amen. We need to see the Lord. Now, the only thing that can change our character and our conduct and our motive and our spirit is to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. There's folks can come up here and get on this pulpit and in the pulpit of Saks Baptist Church and your pulpit and everywhere else, and they can have on a mini skirt or pantsuit or anything else under high heaven, and nothing, it doesn't faze them a bit. You know why? They don't know anything about the Lordship of Jesus. They don't know anything. The average Christian today rushes in where angels are afraid to tread. Whenever we see him, we'll fall before him. And until that takes place in our life, till we really get a glimpse of Jesus and his glory and his beauty. You know, we've learned religious doctrines and dogmas. We've learned the religious language and the fundamental truths. But we need an encounter with a person. I saw him. The Apostle Paul had bogged down in religions up to his neck. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He met a Savior, the servant, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And from there on, Paul talked about a person. He said, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Somebody said, what day? Any day, praise the Lord. The difference is in him. Not only that, but he saw him in his beauty, in his glory, and everything that's mentioned here has to do with the work of Jesus Christ. Have a description of his apparel. Now, for instance, he has on the high girdle, girt about the paps with a golden girdle that represents him as a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And not only that, but it represents his sustenance that he gives forth. You see, the high girdle is the emphasis here is like a mother that has just had a child, given birth to a child, and that child draws the sustenance from that mother, and it's immunization, and all about that child is taken from its mother. And that's the same way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're born into God's family and you become a part of him and you draw from him his holiness and his power and his substance, and he shields us with the righteousness of God, you become a part of God. Whenever you get into God's family, we're the heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in it. Then he said, His eyes, the penetrating, permeating, piercing eyes of Jesus. You know, the Lord, he not only hears, but he sees. You know, a strange thing about the Word of God, what it says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, of which we all have to do. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? The Lord sees. You remember Jesus was preaching in Mark chapter 2, and they let up four men. I don't know whether they've been Baptists. You never had that much unity in a Baptist church. Four men said, if we can get this paralytic to Jesus, he'll heal him. And they went after him, and each fellow took the corner of the cot, and there was cooperation, compassion, and concern. And they got him to Jesus, and they went up on the housetop. In spite of all the difficulties and dangers, they moved the roof, tore open the sheet, and let the man down in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible said, when he, that is Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven thee. And that bunch of goggle-eyed Pharisees standing around the wall started criticizing the Lord, and he heard every word of it. Jesus read their thoughts. He did. Sure did. And he said, why murmur among you? Which is easier, to say thy sins are forgiven, or to say unto the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy cot? He said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto the sick of the palsy, arise and go into thine own house. And by the time he said house, this fellow threw one leg over the cot, bounced on the floor, picked up the cot. I'd like to see that experience with you. Would you like to see that bunch of Pharisees parked that day when that fellow went running out through there with that cot? Amen. He was let down a sinner. He went out saved by the grace of God. He was let down shaken. He went out shouting the praises of God. He was let down on the cot. He went out with a cot on him. Praise the Lord. This strange thing happened around her that day, wasn't it? Yes. The Lord, when you see the Lord, it makes a lot of difference. Amen. Then I want to mention one other thing here. There's a whole lot in this. Homer, you can stay in this for a long time.
Yeah.
Praise God. This is the revelation of Jesus, the unveiling of Jesus. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. So nobody ever going to do anything till they die at the feet of Jesus. Whenever you come before the Lord and recognize that all of our abilities and all of our mechanics and methods and every bit of it is sound and brass unless God's in it. I tell you, until we come to that point, it's all a failure, every bit of it. But whenever we fall before God on our face before the Lord and recognize our helplessness and feel a touch of God on the back of your hand, that right hand, he said he laid his right hand. The word means authority. It means the might, the power. And whenever the Lord laid his right hand on him, he said, now you don't have to fear from here on. Fear not. Yeah, I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end and the end. And he said, I'm he that was alive and is dead. And behold, I'm alive evermore and have the keys of death and of hell. He said, now just get up and follow me from here on. And that's what John did. The incomparable Christ. I find some of the most difficult things in my experience. I can find folks that talk about the Baptist. They can talk about the Baptist. They can talk about every kind of religion under high heaven. But it's hard to find somebody to talk about Jesus.
Right.
Amen. You can't hardly find somebody that knows something about Jesus and likes to talk about him. And if we could tell this world what a wonderful Savior we have, we'd make a little dent on the world. And the Christians, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, and when they had prayed, that meant every one of them. We all sing at the same time, don't we? Amen. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled. That's what it said. That's the same bunch as in the upper room. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And great fear was upon them. And with great power gave they witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went out from every meeting talking about a resurrected Savior. All they talked about was Jesus is alive. Have you heard he's alive? Have you heard he's alive? He lives. He got up out of the grave. He's alive. Hallelujah. And I want to report to you that he's alive. He lives. He lives. You ask me how long he lives. He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. He's alive today. I got news for you. He's alive. Had a man in our church that was a very poor man. He didn't have much materials of the world. He made the latest pocketbooks and men's billfolds and sold them on the streets of Anniston. He sat over in a little amen corner, two little seats over like this. Pat his hand, big old tears run down off his cheeks. He sat there in the chin and quiver. He just praised the Lord. He didn't make a lot of noise, but he just walked with God every day. And one day, hemorrhage down on the streets of Anniston. They called an ambulance, picked him up, took him to the hospital. And I went up to see Brother Mac Neal. And then they had this old oxygen canvas, you know, they put over when they was giving you oxygen. A huge thing like this, and they tucked it under the sheet. And And there Brother Mac was, and he said, "Brother Harper, I'm glad you got here." And he got to working his hand out from under that old rattling canvas tent there that had him under, and he took me by the hand, and he's quivering. He said, "Brother Harper, I'm glad you got here." He said, "I just got my sons to go home." And I said, "Brother Mac, maybe you'll be all right in a little bit." And he said, "Preacher, I'm all right now." He said, "I'm all right now." He said, "In just a little bit, I'm going home. And I'd like to ask you, do you have anybody over on the other side that you'd like to send a message to?" And I stood there in almost shock. I didn't know what to say for a moment. And then in a little bit, I said, "Yes, Brother Mac, I do. I have a daddy that went on when I was just a lad of a boy. I'd like to have my preacher daddy to lean on and to pray with and to counsel with and to fellowship with down through the years. But you tell Dad when you see him, I've missed him down through the years, but I'll see him after a while." And then I said, "Brother Mac, whenever you see Jesus, you tell him that I love him and I thank him for saving me until I can bow down and kiss his nail-pierced feet." Amen. I got a meeting with him down the road somewhere.